and welcome to the Triathlon Age Group Journey. My name is Jay Cunay, and my co-hosts, Jillian Carlson and Matt Sommer, are age group triathletes with a passion for the sport and enjoy hearing stories about other age group triathletes juggle life while pursuing their race course dreams. For episode 36 this week, we're excited to meet Ashley Handkamp. Ashley is a mom of four and an elementary school art teacher and shares our passion for this sport as well. But before we do that, let's catch up with Matt and Jillian. How's everybody feeling?
Well, for me, it's been an interesting week coming off. I talked last time about a decompression week, and the body took its own decompression one step further, and COVID ran through the house last week. So here I thought I was going to get back into things, and COVID had other ways. So, and it wasn't as bad as I think the first round, that's for sure, but it still wasn't great, to be honest. I had an easy bike ride, just was getting back into things and physically felt great. But when it finished, even though it was just completely easy to heart rate, 45 minutes, my lungs were just on fire screaming. And I was like, I know this feeling. It's been a while. I'm not excited about why my lungs are feeling this way. And I felt like congested and a bit sick, but not bedridden, like the first time. Anyhow, when I felt that, I was like, this isn't good. And then the next day I was sitting at work, which I shouldn't have gone into work, but I remember having this feeling of, I just want to go home. I don't feel good. And my son, I picked him up and he hadn't been feeling good during the week either. My daughter was sick the weekend before. Anyhow, I was like, well, we're about to head to Oregon for my brother's 40th birthday and getting ready to go out of town. I should probably just test to make sure. And sure enough, my son and I both tested positive. And so changed the weekend plans. We're supposed to be in Oregon, like I said, for my brother's birthday. But you know, my grandma goes and I've got older family members and then really young kids and just sick. You know, if you're sick, you shouldn't be around them. And so, back to easy workouts and kicking it a little bit faster this round at least and feeling pretty good and got to go for a run today and it just felt good. And I've been easing back into things, but had an extra little hiccup and I'll work out for like 4 days and then going to shut it all off again. So it's definitely been a funky couple months for me, but just living each day one day at a time.
Was it a home test kit? I'm curious if it's even picking it up.
Yeah, it was a home test kit. It was one of the newer ones. I stopped into Walgreens. They're expensive. Like I should do the free ones or something.
Oh, it's man. Like
$23 for two tests.
Oh my gosh.
So I grabbed two and I was like, wait, how much? Are you sure you like scan my order and not the person next to me?
Sorry, we're still living with that. That's for sure.
Yeah. And it's not, again, I don't think it's as bad as maybe it used to be. And people are like, oh, it's just a bad cold, but it's still, I've got, you know, compromised family members that it's good to know and just to be a little extra smarter and stay away.
Yeah. So Matt, a little bit of a health update from last episode, huh?
It's been quite the week. I don't even know where to start, but I won't go into a lot of detail, but just everybody, some days you don't have second chances. All I can say is live each day to the fullest and just keep perspective on your priorities. Just keep in mind family is probably the most important thing you got and keep them close, keep them dear. You know, my family out there, and when I talk about my family, it's just not my mother, my sisters, and my sons. I'm talking about my athletes, my close friends, Jay, Jillian, and I mean, just everybody else that's out there that I keep dear, kind of know all the details, but it was a scary week. And the good thing is everything's good. Probably will never quite know. It's kind of like how many licks does it take to get to the center of a Tootsie Roll Pop? The world may never know. And that's kind of where I'm at with what's transpired this week. But the good thing is don't cash your chips in. You're not getting rid of me. I'm here for a while. Definitely on the rebound and been able to get some good bikes in and everything seems great. So happy, healthy. And, you know, like Jillian mentioned, getting ready to go off the grid for about a week on Wednesday. Looking forward to that. I'm going camping and hunting with Jillian and her family. I was invited to join the annual family camping trip. So this is a big deal. So I think her dad's going to haze the hell out of me. I'm looking forward to it. You know, I'm not quite sure, but he's called me several times, you know, to check on me, but he keeps sliding in there and he's like, you know, they're rituals and you're going to have to go through these regardless of age. You know, I'm ready. And then Jillian calls me and goes, so are you okay riding like the balance of time with my dad? And I'm like, yeah, absolutely. You know, so it's going to be fun. And it really will. I'm looking forward to the trip. Just been a heck of a week. I'm glad things are back to normal. And Jay, I want you to know, I don't know if I was the first one, but as soon as I saw your email about your brother and the ALS donation, I pulled the trigger. So I'm going to challenge all our listeners to do the same and help fight that nasty battle against ALS. You know, I was happy to throw some money that direction, and you're doing a good thing by your brother. You're a great brother, and I'm proud of you for that, man. So,
no, thank you.
The posts that you're doing daily are really insightful, too, I think. I'll admit I have not done my donation for ALS yet. I got your other one.
You got my other one.
I did, yes, for your century ride. But I always have to be logged in under my work because my work matches my donation. So I always make sure that I'm like, in, and I do that so that the match happens at least the same time and I don't forget about it. So I'll make sure to get that in on Monday. But your post has been great. Just bringing awareness to ALS, I think, is really important because you can't predict it, you can't control it, and it's pretty scary.
Yeah. Well, thank you guys. And I am absolutely blown away. We reached our goal in less than 24 hours, which was absolutely mind blowing. And now I just want to keep going. We're just under $8,000 raised already. And I've heard from so many people that have the intent on donating. And I really appreciate your support, everybody. So
good.
Thank you. And that's been absolutely a highlight of the week. Number one, just seeing them come in and then to be able to send, you know, some thank you emails to folks and connect with some people that I haven't talked to in a while. And social media is just mind-boggling. I mean, I've had several donations from folks that I only know through social media, which is just really awesome as well. So, yeah, my family is just really, really excited. It's more than just me that are getting excited for everything. So super cool. I appreciate it. But yeah, but otherwise this week, it's just been getting back on the bike and getting some miles in before a century ride. That's I did the 5-hour ride Saturday indoors. Not my favorite thing to do.
Wow.
But I got it done. It was just a little bit damp from the rain the night before. And then it's still dark up until about 7 a.m. So by then, you know, the roads are getting busy on a Saturday morning around my neck of the woods. So I don't really like to get out at that point. So unfortunately, I'm going to be probably training for this one 100% indoors. So it'll be fun. So anyhow, really excited to get going with this conversation. Matt, do you have any quotes lined up for us this week? Well, quote. Do you have one
quote. I got limits already. Jeez. See what they do to me, Ashley? This is crazy.
They limit me.
I'll sneak another one in. Don't worry. I always do. Yeah, definitely. I mean, this week has been a lot of reflecting for me and has definitely really changed perspectives on a lot of things. And this quote, I just kind of feel falls in line with that. But the secret of your future is hidden in your daily routine. You know, you'll never change your life until you change something you do daily. I mean, if you think about it, success is the sum of small efforts repeated daily. What our habits are dictates our future and our success. And, you know, that applies to all areas of our life. I mean, whether it is our relationships, whether it is our health, whether it is our triathlon. I mean, what we do repeatedly leads to success. If you want to have a successful marriage, you got to invest in it daily. If you want to be healthy and have good blood pressure, cholesterol, you got to eat healthy and take care of your health daily. If you want the finish line to be that much easier, you got to be consistent and have good habits in your training. What do you guys think?
I think that was three, Matt. I think I heard three. Good try, though. Hey. No, I mean, I think it's a good one. I think, and what's most important about it, though, is that you have the power to change it every day. So it's not just your future is not dependent on what you did yesterday necessarily, even. It's what you're doing, what you do today and tomorrow and every individual day. Compounded, sure, but I think you have the power to change what that might look like. And just because you've done something a certain way in the past does not mean that's how you need to continue doing it.
I like the word hidden. Thinking of the quote last week, you know, having to take ownership and self-reflect, it doesn't have to be hidden, but a lot of times the problems you're having with where you want to be are hidden from you. Yeah. And then you've got to uncover them, make those changes like Jillian just said. And certainly this is all about discipline and having to maintain discipline as well as maybe recreate or create discipline where you don't have it, for sure. So Ashley, what do you think about this one?
Yeah, I mean, you guys kind of covered it all, but I agree 100%. I think that's kind of how I found, you know, success in triathlon is just, you know, good, small daily habits that kind of build on each other and then just being consistent. So, yeah.
Yeah.
I think one important thing to remember, though, too, is failure is not terminal. I mean, at any point, like Jillian mentioned, it's kind of like you can change. I mean, you have the power to change and take ownership of it. And it's just like, you know, success is a slow, steady road. And if something doesn't work, you make changes, you pivot, you adapt. And I think that's where we can really relate this to tri training, whether it's nutritional mishaps or whether it's form and technique, whether it's an injury, anything along those lines. I mean, you've got to pivot. Sorry, bike's falling. Give me a second.
I was like, whoa, that was like an animal just lunged at Matt.
Hey, come on, our bikes are like, you know how bikes are. Like, it's sitting here and my the little thing fell. So let me start that over. Wow, that's like, you don't want the bike to fall. Like, I was ready
to die. Get a demonstration, pivot.
Yeah. So I'm good, I promise. Health is good. No, but where was I? Train of thought. But getting back, it's like, you know, just being able to pivot, adapt, and just make sure you got to change the game plan sometimes. Call that audible and be ready to go down a different path, you know?
Yeah.
So.
All right. Well, we had some themes of consistency and discipline, and our guest today, Ashley, clearly has a lot of these things. Number one, discipline and having to juggle a family of four children and being a school teacher on top of that means lots of other kids on top of your own kids. But also what really drew us and excited us to talk to you is what a year you've had in 470.3s in 1 year, which you've, I guess, self-admittedly is a stretch for you, but you clearly found a consistent thread through all of those and doing very well. Why don't we just get started with an easy question of how in the world did you get started doing triathlon?
Okay. So, I really haven't been into doing triathlons very long. I think it was probably when I was 35, I had some run injuries and I was seeing a PT, and the PT that I was seeing, she did 70.3s and she actually made it to the world championship. I think she competed in Nice, and I was kind of fascinated with her story, and I was kind of put on my bucket list to do a triathlon. But the only issue was, is I didn't know how to swim. I mean, I could, you know, do enough to be a little proficient in the water, but I didn't have any clue how to do a real swim stroke or anything. And so one of the teachers in my building, he's actually a swim coach. And so my New Year's resolution that year was to take a few lessons from him and learn to swim. And so it was kind of a slow journey learning to swim. And it was really humbling. You know, I was really intimidated at the pool because, you know, you see people just, you know, swimming nonstop for, you know, hours, and I could barely make it across the pool. And so I just, you know, put a lot of work in and stayed consistent. And then the year I was supposed to do my first races was in 2020. But of course, COVID hit and everything was kind of shut down. So I really focused on getting comfortable in open water, which was probably my biggest fear going into triathlons, was just, you know, being in a big open lake and not panicking. And so I did a lot of open water swims, joined a couple triathlon groups, which helped a ton. And then in 2021, I did my first real race. It was an Olympic one in May, and in May in Michigan is still pretty chilly. So I think the water was like 57 degrees. And I think the air temp was like 36 degrees when we started. You could see your breath in the air. And so I must have enjoyed it because I kept signing up for more. And that first year, I just kind of signed up for as many, you know, local little tries that I could find. And I kind of built up during that summer. And that first year I ended with my first 70.3. Like my biggest goal was just surviving the swim, and, you know, went really well. And
which race was the 70.3?
That one was Frankfort, Michigan. So, yeah. Yep. So that's actually close to where I grew up. So I kind of felt like it was like a hometown race. So I actually have 7 siblings. So a lot of my so a lot of my siblings and nieces and nephews came out to that race to cheer me on, and it was really nice to see them on the run course, and it was really motivating to do my best.
But, yeah. So you grew up a number. What number were you?
Yeah, yeah, I'm number 5.
It's like number 5. It's your turn.
Yep,
to
move,
right?
Yep. So, but I think that's kind of where my love for sports really started. Was we grew up on a cherry and honey farm, and so we were either working on the farm or we were playing sports with our siblings. And we're a big basketball family, and I ran track and played volleyball too. But basketball is probably my favorite, and you know, kind of made me a little competitive. And and I think it kind of helped me grow a deep love for sports.
When you said you were running, what kind of distances were you running before triathlon?
The 400 and 800 were kind of my specialty. I ran my first year in college. And then after college, I just really enjoyed doing like 5Ks, more of the short, speedy stuff. Mm-hmm. And maybe a few 10Ks, but like even now, I still have not done a standalone half marathon. So that was that's kind of my next goal, maybe this, you know, fall, or well, not fall. I have a little injury I'm getting over, but probably when I get over this injury to maybe train for my first half marathon standalone run, I guess.
So it sounds like you jumped in like head first after last season. Did you like just, you caught the bug obviously, and then just jumped into 2022 with a full race season?
So I got pretty, you know, obsessed with my training right off the bat. I think I like the process just as much as I like the racing, which helps. But my husband's super supportive, and we actually went in for a bike fit for the bike I was using when I first started, and it was actually too big for me. And so my husband's like, well, we got to get you a new bike. So that kind of helps that. I'm like, okay.
How does that happen?
I know, right? He's pretty lucky.
Wow.
But he jokes, he actually had a really nice fishing boat, but with kids and travel sports, he doesn't really fish as much as he used to. And so he jokes that he sold his nice fishing boat to buy my new bike. But I don't think he really did, but it just kind of worked out timing wise. So so I got a new bike and then just, you know, jumped right in. And when I did that first 70.3, I stayed for awards, and I watched the world champ, you know, how the roll downs for worlds and whatnot. And just kind of learned, you know, how that worked. And so I got kind of strategic about what races I signed up for that next year. And so last year, because I really want to make it to worlds. And I fell just a tiny bit short. I think I was like 1 minute, one place off for qualifying last year. Oh. And so that kind of motivated me to keep working for this year.
Okay. So this year you lined up 4. You were going to find a way, huh?
Well, 4 was not my original plan. Okay. I was not planning on 4. And so the first one I actually signed up was Frankfort again, because that was the first 70.3 that I ever did. And I just, you know, fell in love with the course and, you know, being so close to family and whatnot. So I signed up for that one really early, and I was like, oh, if I don't feel like doing it, I can just defer it if I want to. And, Steelhead, Michigan was actually going to be my first race of the season to try to qualify for the world championship this year. And that one's also pretty close to me. But when Chattanooga opened up those extra spots for women, I thought that was going to be kind of my sure shot and best opportunity to get a world's spot. And so I did Chattanooga in May, and that's where I qualified for Finland.
Awesome.
And then, yeah, so I was super excited about that. And then a couple weeks later, then I did Steelhead, Michigan in June, and then Lahti, Finland in August.
Yeah.
Awesome.
That is a busy season.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah, like it was a lot. I probably bit off a lot more than I could chew. And I mean, I learned a ton, and I had a couple going into Chattanooga, I actually had a calf injury. And so I really haven't been doing a ton of running this past summer. So I really focused on just improving my bike and swim, and then hoping that fitness would carry over to the run for those races. So,
yeah.
Actually, yeah, you have four kids. How old are your kids now?
So my oldest is a freshman, and then my daughter is in eighth grade, and then I have twin boys in second grade.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So that's got to be tough, you know, balancing the training with the kids and, you know, the husband. And I think sometimes people will think, oh, you know, you have a husband so they can help take care of the kids. But I mean, you're a wife too, right? So it's not like the husband is just there to watch the kids so you can train. You've got to, you know, you still want to be there for kids and you want to be there for your husband as well. How do you balance all of the training commitment and time just with family and your job?
So like, I've never wanted my triathlon training to like take time away from my family. So I think that's why it makes it easy to get up super early, because I would feel kind of guilty if, you know, I'm working out when the kids are awake. So I just plan to, you know, wake up early and, you know, get it done now and then on those long bike rides. Of course, those kind of carry over into the days on the weekend. But my husband, like I said, is super supportive and helps on those weekend rides and whatnot. But I think just waking up early and cranking out is the best way for me to fit it all in.
So with the ages your kids are, you said the oldest is a freshman in high school, and then you got twin boys that are how old?
They turn 8 next
okay,
week.
Okay, so that's second grade, right?
Second grade, yep.
So you sports? I mean, are you balancing like their sports with, I mean, because those are like prime ages for like youth athletics too, and high school athletics.
Yep. Yep, they're all in sports, and my older two are in multiple sports. My older two do travel sports, and my oldest son is actually on a national travel lacrosse team, so he's all over the place. And like I said, I always want their stuff to come first. So I mean, sometimes, you know, if I miss a workout, sometimes it's hard to tell yourself, you know, it's okay, but they're young, and you know, they have goals too. So I just want to make sure that they know I'm always there supporting them. They're all playing a sport right now. So I think I have 5 games a week, including their practices that, you know, we're running them too. And so it's busy, but, yeah, it's fun, fun, busy.
Have any of them dabbled in swim, bike, run, or any youth triathlons, or are they just like, mom, that's your thing. We're there, but that's not for us.
My twin boys, they've done a couple like kid races and, kid duathlons. And I think one of my twins he's kind of my sidekick. So if I'm on the bike trainer, you know, he's usually next to me and he's cheering me on or bringing me snacks. And, we actually, now that he's on a bigger bike, his bike actually fits on my old bike trainer. Oh, cool. So he's excited that this winter he can ride next to mom downstairs. So I think Jack might be my future training partner, which is fun to see. Yeah.
Sounds like a family Zwift subscription coming up.
Right.
It's obligatory we mention Zwift at least once on our podcast, even though we're not sponsored.
What about your husband? Does he like to do any of the training with you, or does he just like supporting you?
He likes to mountain bike, and so he's gotten me into that just a little bit. So that's nice, you know, kind of cross-training, getting off the busy roads and getting out into the woods. He's a lot more aggressive on the mountain bike than I am, and I think that's why he brings me, just because that's the only thing he can beat me at. So he keeps bringing me, but he encourages me a lot, which is nice, and he kind of gives it to me kind of straight, and he just says, well, just swim, bike, and run faster. You know, he always has his, you know, little comments, but no, he's super great about motivating and keeping me on track. So
that's awesome.
So what about your surrogate children at elementary school? Do they know that you race, and they know how incredibly athletic you are and doing this triathlon stuff?
I do like to share race stories with them. Jenison, where I work, Jenison has a great swim program. And so I always tell my swimmers, hey, you know, someday you go do a triathlon or something. But I think it's important to share kind of that journey with them too, because I wish I had a teacher maybe that inspired me a little bit to, you know, try triathlons when I was younger. Like, I don't think I knew any triathletes probably like till I said when I was 35, when I met that PT. So I think maybe I would have gotten into it earlier if I knew more people that did it.
Yeah, for sure. One of my earliest memories is that my elementary school gym teacher having a full-size poster of him on the back of a door crossing the Ironman finish line in Kona. Awesome. So that was the first time I ever knew about it. So
yeah, very cool.
You're absolutely right. They're gonna remember you. October seems to be the time of the year that we start seeing applications for teams and ambassador programs. And I understand you're with Betty Squad, correct?
Yes. Yeah.
And yep. How did you find your way onto that squad? And, I think it's helpful for our listeners to know that this is the time of season. So we thought we'd just riff on that a little bit.
Yeah, for sure. Actually, my first year I applied for Betty, I didn't get in, but I think it was mainly because I never did a triathlon before that. And so this is my third year on the team. And I just kind of love the community of the team. We have women, it's international. So women all over the world, and you meet up at races, and it kind of feels like they're your long lost friends or sisters. And it feels like you have known them your whole life. And we do, winter team Zwift and Zooms, and it's just nice to have a community of women with kind of similar or the same goals that you have.
Awesome.
So as an art teacher, correct? Elementary school?
Yeah. Yep.
You're the fun teacher, right? Yeah. I mean, it's kind of like art, PE. It's like, that's where you get a break from everything. Cause I mean, I remember back in art school, like I am not artistic. Like I was drawing lines, and like that was the extent of what I could do. But I mean, obviously your passion lies with art. Do you do a lot of that around the house? Are you very artistic, or is it just kind of like, hey, school's where it's at? Or does that carry over into your triathlon world? I mean, are you one of the ones that is like wearing like these artsy kits, or is it just the Betty stuff? Like, I don't know if that makes sense.
Yeah. Well, my emphasis in college was painting. I had an elementary and endorsement, and then the visual arts endorsement, and then my emphasis was painting. So I used to paint a lot more than I do now. And so, my own kids and triathlon kind of filled that time for me now. But I kind of love getting, messy with my students, and I just tell them, it's a mess. It'll clean up. So I think the kids really enjoy, I don't know how many families, allow their kids to, get messy and explore different mediums. And so the kids really, really enjoy coming, which makes it easy for me. I don't have to deal with many behavior issues because we're usually having fun. But, yeah, I am the triathlete where the brighter, the better. I love patterns, and, the crazier the kits, the better. And I usually race with, hot pink hair. One of the first races I ever did, I joined a charity team for breast cancer awareness. And, I had my fundraising goal, and I said, if I meet my goal, dye my hair hot pink. And so it kind of just became my thing. So a lot of times when I show up to races, people know who I am just from my pink hair. And
that's cool.
Yeah. Yeah. So my students like it too. I call it my unicorn hair. So it's kind of fun.
So in any of your races this year, were there any either memorable experiences or big lessons that you learned, even if it was just, hey, maybe force a little bit too much?
Right. I think there's a little bowl. So I think the most memorable, of course, is doing the world championship. That was, quite the amazing experience. I told my students it felt like a little mini, Olympics, because they had the Parade of Nations. And then when you're on the run, there's all the spectators cheering in, different languages, which was pretty cool. And just, my husband and I, we don't travel a ton, so that was quite the experience for us. And then what was the second question? I forget what you said. It was
lesson learned.
Yeah, there's a big lesson learned. So like I said, 470.3s was way too much for, my body and my time. And I actually ended my last 70.3 with an injury. So it was, I had 5 miles left on the run, and I just passed my family, and they're cheering me on. And then, after I passed them, then I had a really intense pain in the top of my foot, and I knew it wasn't like, sodium cramps or fatigue. It was definitely something different. And so I, tried to run, walk, and it was kind of, painful just to walk. And I had some ibuprofen in my race belt. So I took that, and it wasn't going well. And so I did my Hail Marys and prayed a lot, and made it through. And then Monday I had x-ray, and I actually broke the third metatarsal on the top of my foot. Wow. So they're thinking it was probably a stress fracture that I didn't know about. I didn't have any pain there. So, you know, I was in an area that I was concerned with. And so I'm currently in a boot for another 4 weeks, which is a little depressing. Yes. Yeah. So that was my learning experience, you know, moment is too much, you know, take care of your body first.
And that's a tough one to not have any kind of symptoms or signs before and just have it come on race day. Those sometimes could be the hardest, even mentally recovering from too, because you might wonder, oh, is that the pain? Is that, am I about to, you know, fracture again, or just trying to figure out the cause and whatnot. So, oh, that's tough, Ashley.
Yeah. Yeah. It wasn't fun, but my, that was the first race that my kids came to this year. And so I think that was my motivation just to get done was I didn't want them to see me walk, you know, the end or walk over it. So I was like, okay, the kids are here. We got to get it done. And yeah, so.
So Ashley, I know you mentioned that you have an autoimmune disorder and you juggle that with all the training. Can you talk us a little bit about that and what listeners might learn from you?
Yep. So I have hypothyroidism and Hashimoto's, which I've had since before my first son was born. So I've been dealing with it with a long time, and I kind of see my endocrinologist and I see a holistic doctor and try to find the best ways to kind of juggle it and be symptom free. And I know endurance training is not the best for people with hypothyroidism and Hashimoto's. And so it's kind of like a fine line of taking care of your body and rest and, you know, still doing what you need to do to be successful in the sport, I guess.
What are the symptoms when it does flare up that you really suffer from?
Well, they say a lot of fatigue and, you know, like weight gain and dry skin. There's just a lot of symptoms that,
got it.
Okay. I mean, they're kind of mild, but not fun. So.
Is it hard to discern between just general training fatigue of, hey, I'm training for a 70.3 and is there that thin line between, hey, I'm crossing that line. I need to listen now because this is not just normal training fatigue. Like, have you been able to pick up and discern between that? Because
no, I feel like it's hard to tell. I mean, like, yeah, is it
I can imagine.
Because I'm, you know, at my peak hours, or is it because, you know, my synthroid isn't working, or, you know what I mean? It's, yeah. So it is, it's kind of a hard juggle. And I don't know if, you know, I'll be able to do, you know, the 70.3 distance forever. Maybe I'll have to do, you know, sprints or Olympics and cut down, you know, on that training load just a little bit. So it's just kind of a lot of it's kind of trial and error. And I mean, I don't want to that I can't get out, or a lot of times when you have one autoimmune disorder, it kind of opens the doors for others. So say I just kind of educating myself on what I can do to keep my body as healthy as possible, I guess.
So you found it's more so, and it's interesting you say that about focusing on sprint and Olympic, because I would wonder, and I'm ignorant to this, is like intensity have anything to do with it?
Right.
Clearly, like sprint Olympics are much more intense. Does that produce more fatigue? You know what I mean? Versus you think 70.3 Ironman, I did say that word, but it's like longer distance, less, you know, less intensity, but longer duration, you know, it's just a balance of those. Yeah. It's fascinating. Yeah.
And I wish I could find a doctor that maybe had, you know, more of a background or knowledge on that piece of it would be nice, but maybe someday I will, we'll see. But yeah.
Just emphasizes the true importance of sleep as well and nutrition and everything with four kids, full-time job and all those athletics. That's probably a tough one to balance. Yeah.
Right. That was kind of my goal this year was just focus on sleep, because everything you read and hear and, you know, they say sleep is the best recovery tool. And so, yep. So then, you know, last year I probably struggled more, you know, waking up, you know, crazy early. And this year I was like, well, it's probably more important that I get that sleep rather than, you know, pushing, you know, cranking out that workout and feeling like crap for 3 days. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. So it's kind of.
And are you a meal prepper, or does your husband do the cooking? How do you kind of balance and make sure that everybody is fed and yourself, you know, that you're fed and hydrated through the day?
Yeah, I kind of cook and bake in like bulk. So it's easier just for the week, you know. My husband's really good about, you know, grilling and stuff. So that helps a ton. Or, you know, if I'm making one meal, maybe I'll double it and then put one in the freezer. And My mom lives farther away, but my mother-in-law is super close, and she's a retired school teacher, and she's a saint. So she will make me make the family meals and drop them off every, like if I have a busy week, like with parent teacher conferences where I'm not going to get home till like 9 o'clock, she'll, you know, make us meals, which is pretty amazing. Yeah. Aww. So we're pretty blessed. Yeah. Yeah. She's super awesome. Sweet. So yeah.
That is terrific.
So what does 2024 look like right now? I mean, do you have ambitions, goals, or are you just really enjoying this off season right now and focusing on recovering the foot? Or I mean, because now's the time. Everybody, I know the athletes I coach, it's like races are filling up. You got to start making the schedule. And obviously, we have goals and ambitions. What's that looking like for you?
Yeah, I don't know. There's a lot that I want to do, but I'm just really focusing on recovery. Like, I'm worried that, you know, how is my foot going to heal? And like, I had a few calf issues before this, and, you know, how is that going to relate to the calf? And, whatnot. So I'm just focusing on recovery and healing and probably strength training, you know, coming back stronger than I am now. And the past season, you know, my number one goal was, you know, trying to get to Worlds and doing a, you know, quality job at Worlds. But next year it's in New Zealand. And just with my work schedule, I can't juggle that travel time. So Worlds not my top priority next year. I don't know if I'll pick an A 70.3, or one good thing about Michigan is there's lots and lots of local races. And, you know, I did that my first 2 years and had a ton of success, and maybe I'll go back and do some more of those. And not real sure. I also got a gravel bike, and I'm kind of obsessed with gravel too. And they have a ton of gravel. Mm-hmm. They have a gravel race series, which is almost, you know, a race every weekend for gravel. So that's something I'm kind of looking at too. So
I'm very jealous of that. I mean, down here in North Carolina, we have nothing for gravel. And I mean, I have a lot of people that are like, oh man, you got to get into gravel biking. I see a lot of friends that have it, and they're out in Utah. They're out in, you know, like out in the Pacific Northwest. I mean, up in Michigan. Yeah. I mean, we've either got pastures or we got road. There's not even mountain biking really around here, strong mountain biking. So definitely jealous. I think the gravel could be fun just as a change of pace, something to do differently.
Definitely. Yeah, it is. So like, I love getting off, you know, the paved roads and getting on the dirt roads, and I feel a little bit safer and it's a little more scenic. And yeah, I really enjoy it.
That's the art teacher and you getting messy.
Right, for sure. Matt, you'll get some gravel this weekend, don't worry.
Yes, your dad made me very clear of it. So yeah.
Well, gravel is also a great way while your foot and you can't run, at least you can get the miles on the bike and really enjoy that as well. It's really
for
good.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
So one of the biggest things you talked about at first was that fear of open water. Have you overcome that? And what do you, is that still a steady thing, or do you find yourself just kind of like at ease now in the water? Is that something, I mean, maybe with the foot being the way it is, that could be a little bit more focus, you know?
Yeah. I'm working with a coach right now, and he's like, oh yeah, we can do a swim camp training. And I'm like, I don't really want a swim camp. Does not sound excited to me, but
shoulder hurts
I know it'd
now,
be good
all of a
for
sudden.
Me. Like yeah, exactly. Hurts. Right. I've never, knock on wood, but I've never like panicked in the water during a race. I think like I got in the open water so much that I got pretty comfortable with it. I don't like swimming alone, even with that swim buoy. I don't know. I don't care for that. So I think just having that swim buoy to, you know, get over my fear of open water, swimming with a group kind of helped me get over that fear. So, but yeah.
Nice.
You mentioned your husband went with you to Finland. So the kids did not go to Finland with you?
No, we left the kids with grandma and grandpa. So both my parents came down to help, and then his parents helped with all the sports scheduling. So
gotcha. Then they came to your last race this past year.
Yes. Yep. The Frankfurt one. Yep. Yep.
So what is that like when everybody piles in, and did you have to travel and stay in hotels, or it was close enough to home?
So for that one, there was actually, we camp a lot. So there was camping, trick or treating. So my husband nice. Had to take all the kids, camping, trick or treating, which I probably still owe him for that. So, I went up and stayed with my parents, and then he camped and they did the trick or treating. And then they came up that morning to watch the race.
Got
so
it. Camping and racing is one of my favorite things to do. I usually once or twice a year, the races, I'm camping at a campsite rather than doing a hotel. So it's a lot of fun. Interesting.
I honestly haven't done that before.
I've done it before at Lake Logan, and it's not always
that's
most
not camping. Oh no, Lake Logan. Never mind. I was thinking Triple T. You're right. Right.
Lake Logan, but it's not always the most restful night of sleep the night before. But then the night after the race, you're just like, you pass out anyway. You're so tired. So,
yeah. Right. Yeah.
So Ashley, with four kids and obviously a husband as well, if we were to ask them, how's mom after a hard training session, what are they going to say?
I don't know. They probably say hungry or.
Yeah, exactly.
Like even with my oldest son, like he plays so many sports. So like I'm always pushing, you know, what I've learned about nutrition onto him and, you know, the protein shakes and the recovery and whatnot. But they'd probably say mom likes her ice cream.
There you go. So what's your favorite flavor? What's your go-to?
I don't know. It probably changes. Probably a hot fudge sundae is probably my go-to. Okay. But yeah. But
so post set burger, pizza, pasta, or is it just like straight to a beer and ice cream?
Well, so I'm gluten-free because of my thyroid issues. That does help. So I have to find something that is appealing, you know, close by that is gluten-free, but like probably pizza is probably my go-to.
There you go.
My husband, we went to a brewery after Frankfurt. And so it was quite a few months since I had, you know, a few drinks. So we went and got some hard cider and
Nice.
He told me at the bulk of my training season, he's like, my fun meter was a little low. So, so we've been getting out a little bit now that things have slowed down a little bit. So
that's important. That's good.
SC, do you have people that live around you for training partners, or are you pretty much solo? And I mean, obviously, when you're part of a team like Betty, one of the benefits, even if they don't live by you, you probably have, you know, remote training friends and whatnot. But just curious if you have a network around you as well.
Yeah, I do. So there's a local tri team. I think they're more active. I think during COVID, I met up with them a lot for open water swims. So I did that a lot when I first started training, but I have a couple other training partners that are close. I think maybe that's, you know, why I got so hooked on the sport too, is because the community is super inviting and, you know, they're inviting you to work out all the time. And, I have a couple of Betties that are close. So we meet up for rides, and then, a couple other friends that, you know, live close where we'll do our long rides together, which helps, you know, mentally, you know, getting through a long workout, having someone else there enjoying the misery with you. And so I think having local training partners is probably a huge piece of, you know, staying in the sport. Because I think if I didn't have them to chat with and, you know, talk about our struggles and whatnot, it'd be a very lonely sport if I didn't have that
harder
community piece.
Yes. Yeah, right. That was awesome.
I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong, but you strike me with the personality that you seem like you're almost like an ambassador to the sport. Like the people you meet, you're like, hey, come try this. Like you should do this. Like, am I correct in that thinking? You just seem like the type of person that's on the course or talking to people, like whether it's other moms or dads at like your kids' athletic events. You're like, and they were like, oh, you do this. And they seem blown away that you're like, oh, you could do it too. Like, are you trying to recruit people in and just like, oh yeah, you could totally do this? I mean, just, it seems that way.
Yeah, I definitely do. Especially like if they live close to me, cause I'm like, yeah, another training partner. You should definitely do this. Go. Come on. Yeah. So especially like, you know, friends that, you know, are already runners or friends that enjoy cycling and, or like, you know, friends that maybe don't want to swim. I was like, well, there's duathlons, you know, most of the races by us do have the duathlon race, you know, so it'd still be going to the race and, you know, doing it together, even if it's a little bit different. But I definitely, you know, try to get as many people into it as possible, because I kind of got into the sport because I had some run injuries and I thought it'd be a great way to stay active as I aged, you know, getting, you know, the low impact of cycling and swimming. And so I think it's, you know, a great sport as we get older and
yeah,
change things up a little bit.
Well, I got to ask this question because I think it wouldn't be a triathlon if I didn't. Any ambition or dreams of doing a full Ironman?
I think someday, it probably won't be until my twins are, you know, self-sufficient and I can, you know, do those long workouts. But right now it's not on, you know, my calendar or radar right now, just because it's hard enough to juggle the 70.3 training. And when I go do a full, like, you know, I want to do my best and I want to do well, and I just don't want to do it just to say I did it. You know what I mean? I want
absolutely,
you know, a great effort and someday, but not any day soon.
So you're saying there's a chance.
Yeah. There is a chance. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, Ashley, I think also just from a perspective of building the training load, you know, doing Olympics and 70.3s for years is a great way to get ready to do a full. You don't need to jump into it right away, for sure. So it took me 7 years before I finally did my first full. So yeah, I love that idea.
And then he qualified for Kona on his first one.
Oh, nice. Well, that's awesome.
Got lucky.
Yeah, it was a lot of hard work and discipline.
Oh, you know, for that. Sure. So, for yeah. sure.
So do you have a dream race out there? Like just a destination race that, you know, obviously with the whole Betty squad, you've seen a lot of your friends, a lot of your training partners do these races. I mean, if money wasn't an option and there it's sprint Olympic, I mean, you got Alcatraz, you got Malibu Tri, you got them all over the country, you know, down in Florida, there are tons of them, you know, is there like St. Anthony's? I mean, there are tons, not even Ironman branded, Challenge Family, whatever. Is there a dream race that you're just like, wow, that would be so much fun to do one day?
I don't really know. Like I said, like I haven't really been in the sport that long, you know, 3 years. So I don't know. Right now, not really. I think, you know, my goal is just to improve a little bit each year. And I don't know, I'll have to be thinking on that one, where I'd want to go. Probably someplace fun with my family, I think, so we can kind of explore and do both race and make some memories, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, very cool.
How much longer are you in that boot for?
So it was a total of 6 weeks. So I have 2 weeks in, and then I go back after 4 weeks for more x-rays just to make sure it's healing and whatnot. So I'm just glad. Originally, I thought maybe I'd have to have surgery with a pin, and then the specialist said, no, let's just, he think we'll have a better success rate of just letting it heal on its own with the boot. So hopefully it's good to go.
Now, have you seen Lucy Charles' videos, right? So she got creative with her boot. I think she put like a roller skate on it while she was still doing, was it the rowing machine? Or I don't know. Anyhow.
As art teacher, I kind of dress to match what we're learning. So it's kind of like Miss Frizzle. So I have a bunch of, you know, crazy skirts and shirts and all this fun stuff. And that's what the kids are asking. Well, when are you going to decorate your boot, Mrs. Hankamp? So my daughter has a Cricut machine. I was like, oh, maybe Callie can make me some stickers to put on the boot. So I'll have to brighten it up a little bit and make it fun. So.
Yeah. Yes.
Well, one thing that jumps out, Ashley, and I think this is great, is your priorities and your perspective on training. I mean, I think you've got the priorities in the right place. I mean, it's great to hear you just reiterate and kind of just reinforce, might be the best word, just family. And I mean, obviously balancing 4 kids, a husband, a full-time job, and still making time. And I use those words very specifically, making time to race. And I mean, I think a lot of times people look at us as athletes that are racing all these races and assume, well, that's all we do. We must not work. We must not have kids. You know, we must not have a spouse. It's like, oh, they just must train all the time. And it takes a team and it takes a tribe. And I mean, it sounds like you got a fantastic kids, family, supportive, encouraging. And, you know, kudos to you for keeping your priorities straight while still focusing on you. I'm a big advocate, and I tell my athletes a lot of times, it's like, you can't take care of anybody else if you don't take care of you first. And I think mentally and physically, you know, you're putting drops in your bucket so you can pour into theirs. So keep up the good work. It's very admirable, and kudos to you. So.
Well, thank you. Yeah, thanks.
Okay. I guess, well, thank you for joining us and talking through your journey. We absolutely wish you the best on your foot and get a good, healthy foot again so that you're at least back to some form of swim, bike, and run soon.
For sure.
We know how much it means to you. So, Matt, before we wrap up, do we want to highlight a little bit about Brett?
Yeah, I'd love to. Brett Collins is one of the athletes that I'm fortunate enough to coach and call my friend. Brett took on 70.3 Muncie yesterday and he lit it up. My man finished third overall in the race with That's a blazing awesome. 4:06.30. If I'm not mistaken, he was first out of the water, and then he came in second on the bike overall. And I mean, he ran a 1:23 off the bike. And I mean, his wife and I are frantically texting back and forth, back and forth. He had been in second place all day long. I think we knew he wasn't going to catch first. And God, some 25 to 29 year old comes from behind. And the fastest run of the day, other than this 25 to 29, was a 1:21. This guy ran a 1:14 off the bike and caught Brett. And I mean, it was just like my heart ached so much because it's just that just doesn't happen. I mean, a 1:14 is a pro run split.
Yeah.
And a 70.3. Brett, congratulations to you. I mean, just so proud of you. The hard work, the determination. I mean, what an exclamation point to a great season. He and I obviously talked privately yesterday and had some words. And I mean, nothing but positive is out of the race day. And I think the biggest thing that made my heart the fullest was the picture I got afterwards of him sitting there with all three kids that his wife took. And it's just like, that's what this is about. It's about family and balancing everything. He earned it. This was not given to him. He earned it by putting himself in those positions of just trying to be 1% better every day. And I think he can inspire all of us. Just keep showing up, keep trying, and there's no limits, only the ones you create in your head. There's my second quote. See what I did there?
Yep. Always.
It's probably your fourth, bud.
Probably.
Who's counting, right?
As Jillian pointed out, I think you used three quotes that define the first quote that you gave today.
And Brett's episode was only two ago. Actually, it was just number 34. Yeah. So, just two back.
Yeah, but what a day for him. And congratulations to everybody else that was out there over the weekend. I mean, there were some great races going on all weekend long. Congratulations to all the finishers out there. A lot of fall races, and we still got a lot ahead of us. I mean, gosh, we got a lot coming up. We got North Carolina coming up. I know that's going to be a big one. California's coming up as well.
So when does our badass grandma?
Oh, boy.
That's Ironman California.
Yep. That's on the 14th of October, if I'm not mistaken. So, yeah. And Kay is ready. We've been talking a lot. So, Kay Grant, we're listening. Everybody's cheering for you. It's going to be a magical day out there with a lot of friends. You know, she and I talked about not knowing how the day's going to go. And because, you know, the what ifs, the uncontrollables. And I remember talking to her on the phone during one of our calls. And I said, Kay, I know how it's going to go. You're going to get on the course, you're going to swim, you're going to get out, you're going to hug people, you're going to cry, you're going to get on the bike, you're going to laugh, you're going to cheer everybody on, you're going to motivate, encourage, you're going to cry, you're going to get off the bike, you're going to hug people, you're going to cry, you're going to laugh, you're probably going to walk a lot, and you're probably going to cuss me at some points. You may say it out loud, you may say it to yourself. You're going to hug people, you're going to encourage, you're going to cry, and then you're going to cross that finish line and you're going to get a hug from your husband and you're going to be the proudest badass grandma there ever was. And then you're going to cry some more and then you're going to call me. And, you know, she was like, almost both of us were in tears, but no, she's ready for a fantastic day. She's done the training. Everything she can do to control the day has been done. So I'm just anxious to see her execute and finish. So.
Awesome. Jillian, you want to bring us home?
Well, guys, this has been great. Ashley Hancock, thank you so much for joining us today. It's been great to hear your story, how you got into it, how you balance everything with family and keep them priority number one. I think that, like Matt had mentioned, one of the biggest takeaways and just having fun with the sport too. So I know listeners probably couldn't hear it, but maybe they could just hear it through your voice, but they couldn't have seen that you had a smile on your face through most of it, especially as you were describing everything. And I think that's just, you know, awesome, the joy that you bring to the sport. And keep bringing in more Bettys, keep bringing in more people in the community. If some of our listeners are looking at being on a team, like Jay mentioned, now is the time. Zoot, there's Win, there's Betty's as well is another great one. Your local community tri-teams, I think a lot of those ones are looking for people too. And I think that's just such a great way to get in and to stay in into the sport.
Thanks for having me. You know, it was fun chatting. And yeah, thanks so much for having me.
And thanks to our listeners too. So wouldn't be here without you guys. if you have any questions or want to get a hold of us, you can always find us at triathlonagegroupjourney@gmail.com, or you can find us on Instagram at triathlonagegroupjourney. You know, let us know if you have a story that you want to share with us as well. In the meantime, guys, have a great week.
Yeah. I think my goal for the week, guys, is I want to get messy. I think, Ashley, you got that. And it's like, for some reason, I just like that. Get messy.
Right.
I just want to tell people that. Get messy. Get out there. Sweat. Get dirty.
Have fun. Yeah.
Have fun.
Yeah.
So, good thing to remember.
You should have a chance to do that when you go camping.
So yeah. I was going to say, Matt, there'll be no shortage of that after s'mores and the dirt.
Yeah. There we go. All right, everybody. Make it a great week. Stay healthy.